Just in case you think that an interruption buckle your seatbelt. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. Because he, in this case, the he is one of us. He has loved me, me, Jehovah. Therefore, I will deliver him. First step of the deliverance. I will set him securely on high. Because he has known my name, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will worship him and honor him. The Lord said, at the ending, Psalm 91, with a long life, I will satisfy him. Then the part in the song that's not sung, and I will show him, in Hebrew, Yeshua T. I will show him my Yeshua, my salvation, that's how it's translated. I'm talking about that. Got another song for you. Psalm 20. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. The correlation is identical to Psalm 91. Without singing, may Jehovah answer you in the day of trouble. Beyom Zara. Beyom Zara. In the day of trouble. That's what it says in the Hebrew. Ye'anach Adonai Yehovah Beyom Zara. Then the next thing is the name. The name of Elohei Yaakov. In the Hebrew. The name of Elohei Yaakov protect you. And the word protect you in the Hebrew translates set you securely on high. I'm destroying this thing. I'm going to disconnect it, John. I couldn't get it either. Probably has a snap. Yeah, that's a trick. Okay. Where are you going? Well, let me get there. Let's turn it on so that I don't, because it would be exciting to, like Sam says, just add to the hours and expound. Just before, just a few hours before the Passion of Yeshua, Okay, so he's done the Seder. Or he's about to do the Seder. Okay. Matthew 24 takes place. And in Matthew 24, Yeshua gives this headline. Quote, "For there will be a great trouble, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will." I know what the King James translates that. Okay? Can you put that word out of your mind for a second? We'll get there eventually and use it also. But what is translated, what it says here in the TLV, there would be great trouble. How do you say that in Hebrew? Beyom Zara Gdola, or Gadol, because Yom is masculine, so Beyom Zara Gadol. Oh, the same terminology as Psalm 20. He called this period Yom Zara Gadol or Gdola, the day of great trouble. The world, the word rendered great trouble, Gadol Zara, is translated in the King James Version with the word tribulation, which means a grievous affliction or distress, pressure or burden upon the spirit. But as we move closer towards the end of the age, which is what Matthew 24's context is, and catastrophic distresses and pressures are upon mankind, and in fact they shall increase, he said, Matthew 24. I didn't want to just write it all down and read it for the sake of time. Here's the deal. There's some of us are experiencing this already. Some of us are experiencing those things already. But the instructions in Scripture are very clear. The instructions in Psalm 20 is, "The Lord answer you in Beyon Tzara, in the day of trouble." Wait a minute. We got to find him so that we can get a question, make a question, make a statement, because this is the word here is very clear in the Hebrew. Answer you. That means you got to find him. You have had to have found him. And then you've got to talk to him. That sounds like good medicine that I don't ever use. When trouble comes, he's usually the last person I want to talk to. Or to ask any questions. But the instructions are very clear. When trouble comes, and even great trouble, we must find him on the day of trouble and be ready for his instructions. Wow. Before I go to the next Holy Spirit, thank you. I hear all the time, "Oh, don't worry about it. The Lord's going to take care of it. Oh, it's all right. He's got it under control. Oh, it's all right. You're taking on too much." And the person is correct that says that to me, because he is. But here's the human part. Well, if he's going to take care of it. And I don't have to worry about it. That's akin to take it out of my back pocket and throw it out. Don't even think about it. So how is he going to communicate to me the answers? Okay, so let me proceed with that thought. Yeah, the Lord's going to take care of it. All right, awesome. Here it is. This is how I find myself. And at the last minute, I might say, Lord, what's going on? Can you explain, please? Can you talk to me? Okay. Sometimes the answer would be, I've been talking to you, but you haven't been listening. I've already given you the information, but you have chosen to take the back seat of comfort. After all, you're an American. Americans are the only people in the world that have vacations. Just about. Not just about. Don't say no, because it's true. If you go to the most places around the world, there's no such thing as vacations. Okay? The majority of the world doesn't take vacations. They work all the time. This is, you know, in America, everything is like a lazy boy chair. I've been to various parts of the world. I haven't been to that many, but been to lots of places, especially Central America and Latin America and places like that. And the last thing I could say is those people are living in comfort. Well, actually, if you look closely, there is a percentage of people living in there is a high class. There's a difference in class, and there's a high class, and they're living in comfort in other places. But the rest of the people, they're walking around selling gum for 5 cents on the highways. The woman with her baby sucking on her, just selling the five, you know, the car stops because of the light or the traffic, like in Mexico City. And here they come. They don't wash your windshield. Some do. They just come by and the baby hanging there. She opens her hand. And un peso, por favor. How much was a peso back in the days when I... Pennies. I want to know if we're prepared to listen to his instructions. In order to be prepared to listen to his instructions, we also have to be prepared to have company with him. Well, where does he sit? Just so to speak. According to her, anyway, since she, Holy Spirit is using her to lead the message, is up there somewhere. He's not down here. Okay, so the typical Western mindset of affluent places like America is, you have to come where I am. We want his answers, but you got to come where I am. No, we want his answers, and we got to go where he is. We're making an appointment to talk to him. But we want him to come and get up from where he's at and come talk to us. And what I think happens is that we develop a mindset that when the days of trouble come, we haven't practiced talking to him. We haven't practiced asking him. We haven't practiced any of those things. We're totally out of practice. We don't even know where he's at. Because where he's at is where he's always been, you know. He hasn't really gone anywhere, so to speak. He's on high. But I haven't been on high. I haven't dwelt where the Bible says I need to dwell, which is securely on high, right next to him. So therefore, I have no idea how to talk to the boss, to the supreme being, to the one in charge, and maybe ask questions. Since the instructions in Scripture are clear, then I got it written down. So compare this thought with, I will set him securely on high, which is another way to say, I will protect you. How do you protect somebody? The Lord protects you by setting you securely on high. And then it said, because he knows my name. Psalm 91, verse 14b. Because he knows my name. Is his name God? Is his name Adonai? Okay. Maybe I don't know how to pronounce it. But it's Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And more evidence is saying that there are vowels associated with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And the vowels are the schwa, the holom, which is a little point, and the little A, the little A. So it's pronounced Yehovah. In both Psalm 20 and Psalm 91, knowing his name, not his title, is critical to following the instructions to Shema, his word. That's why I said 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Sam preached a message in Kedoshim, and this is what he talked about. That we need to learn his name, not his title. Okay? Title professor. Okay, that's fine. I can answer to professor. Title doctor. Yes, I can answer to doctor. Well, so can everybody else in my electrical engineering department. But if you actually said, Dr. Amaury Arroyo, you'd get my attention. Yeah, I'm probably not going to find that many people that can say it. I was surprised the other day. The receptionist at Dermatology Associates said, Amaury. There was not an inch of Latin in the lady. So, Yeshua says, this is going to happen. And do you think he's going to be silent? Okay, this is going to happen. Let's move on to the next topic. No, he didn't. He said, this is going to happen, Matthew 24. Okay? And we've got to be in a point where we can be ready to receive the answer. That means that we have to have a communication line already established, and we've got to be close to him. We've got to be ready to Shema his word. Sound right? Sound familiar? Which is what the purpose of Hineni is. Hineni means here I am. I'm standing right here. I'm listening to you so that you can talk to me. So what did Yeshua say? I'll try to hurry. I'm probably going to fail miserably. So you can go ahead and get all the rotten tomatoes you got. Yeshua immediately began giving instructions after that epic warning. That was an epic warning. Here's what the instructions were. I'm going to read from Matthew 24, the part that nobody reads. Verse 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master put in charge of his household to give them food at the proper time? I like the King James there, in due season. Blessed is that servant whose master finds him so doing when he comes. Then he adds the following. seems like this is totally out of context. Amen. I tell you, his master will put him in charge of all his possessions. So what is that about? So the tribulation of those days and all that's coming and all that bad stuff is coming and the tribulation is here. So how do I get ready? I would think he would say what he did. He said that what we need is faithfulness and wisdom. That's what he said, okay? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? We need faithfulness and wisdom. So then we can be doing that, whatever it is, instruction at his return. What do you mean by faithfulness? Faithfulness is at the core a fruit, an attribute of the Almighty. It's an attribute of himself, just like peace is an attribute of himself. Okay? Who is eternally reliable and true to his character and promises. But also faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Ooh. And a virtue that requires trusting in the Almighty, following his commandments, and maintaining loyalty in relationships with him and others. Okay? That's a little definition. What about wisdom? What does he mean by wisdom? Wisdom is best defined as seeing life from God's perspective. Wisdom is seeing and acting to life based on God's perspective, the kingdom's perspective. Scripture is replete with several books and sections on his wisdom. Do you know some of them? The wisdom of God is in Proverbs. The wisdom of God is in Psalms. The wisdom of God is in Ecclesiastes. The wisdom of God is in Job. The wisdom of God is in the Gospels. A lot of people haven't read Matthew 5. So it's good to remind them. If you got it memorized, don't have to open the book. You just start talking. I've met people that just start talking and quote it perfectly, including your son, your daughter, my son, because they recited the whole Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and we made a plaque for them and gave them 10 cents for every scripture. It's still in effect. What's happening today? What's happening today is that our government, we're in the days of the decreasing desire of government, school systems, law enforcement to restrain moral decadence. There's no will to restrain moral decadence. No will to restrain moral decadence. We live in a time when a significant portion of our society is in open and defiant rebellion to the Almighty. The prophetic words of Psalm 2 are actually being fulfilled in our ears and before our eyes right now. Okay? With local leaders as they rehearse the following. Why are the nations in an uproar? The King James Version say rage. Oh, that's even more apropos. Because if you look at any TV, it's not conservative. So if you look at all the TV you can look at, they just show you rage after rage after rage after rage. Why are the nations in an uproar, in a rage? Why are people grumbling in vain? Well, wait a minute. I've been grumbling, so maybe that's me too. The earth's kings are taking positions. Leaders are conspiring together against Jehovah and his anointed one. That's what it says in Psalm 2. His anointed one in Hebrew is his Mashiach. His Mashiach. Mashiach Yeshua. The next verse is almost like what you see in CNN. Their cry is, let's break their handcuffs and shackles. And let's throw off their chains. Let me quote the the Bible. Let's rip their chains apart and throw their ropes off of us. They are continually talking about be in rebellion, get the shackles off, go against, you know, go against the police, go against this one, go against, it's all about that kind of thing. And Yeshua warned us about that day. Here's what he said. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. Matthew 24, verse 12. What's interesting is that the word that is translated as lawlessness in the Greek version of Matthew 24 is the word anomia. Anomia. Which actually means distance from Torah. Actually, because of the distance from Torah, we can safely say, therefore, many people's love will grow cold because of increased distance from Torah. And nobody's real interested in getting close to Torah again. This distance is from a biblical lifestyle, the lifestyle of the people in the Torah. It's a distance from his commandments, from his moadim, from his priorities. But what do you mean by that? Didn't you not know that the fourth commandment is? What is it? I mean, come on, I'm talking to the people that know. Uh-huh? Okay, let's look at it. Open up the iPad and look at Shabbat. Is that what it said? No. The word observe there doesn't mean look. The word observe there means do it. Do it. Observe Shabbat and keep it holy. Keep it separate. I want to tell you something. A lot of people have come to Messianic Judaism because they got awoken to to the fact that Shabbat is the seventh day. All right? Then they come to Messianic Judaism, and it's really hard lifestyle. Nobody's keeping Shabbat. So the first thing that wants to go, the first thing the world wants to take away from you, the first thing they want you to not observe and not keep holy is Shabbat. And so they drop out of Shabbat. And you say, well, wait a minute, it's Shabbat, not a commandment. Well, at that point, then you get the traditional. Well, you can keep Shabbat any day of the week. And, you know, and you can worship God any day of the week. He doesn't have any favorites. He's a favoriteless God. When he goes to Kilwins, he goes, just give me an ice cream. They might give me chocolate if I did that. Yeah. Okay. So if you want the ice cream that you're going to pay $10 for to be something you enjoy, then when you go to Kilwins, tell them what you want. Okay? The Lord already said what he wanted. He already said what he wanted. He wrote it in Leviticus 23. That's next week's parashat. I'm just jumping ahead, okay? Next week's parashat, he talks about, well, this is what I'm interested in. The first thing to go when people love waxes cold, and especially in the Messianic movement, first thing to go, Shabbat observance and the observance of the high holy days. Which Shabbat observance is in the commandments. And the holidays are his priorities. They are not mine or Sam's. Okay? And you can be all you want to. Well, blah, 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 blah. But it's not going to change any what his priorities are. We can argue about different calendars and this and that and the other. Well, let me tell you the one thing that doesn't change in any calendar So you can be following this and that and the other, whatever. Follow whatever you want. But Shabbat is Shabbat. Shabbat is the seventh day of the week. And it's not for sale. And it's not for discussion. It's not to just go ahead and say, wait a minute. I'm going to give you what I want. Take it. To those people, I say, come listen to what Sam had to say last week or 2 weeks ago about what happened to the sons of Aaron. This distance from the biblical lifestyle and all those things is what he's talking about. Love waxing cold. If you're the one who has stood unyielding against this increasing darkness, you know how intense and multifaceted the battle is. Whether you're fighting to heal your city's wounds, or you're warring against abortion, or pornography, or child abuse, or women abuse, or whatever, you barely seem to make headway against one of those before others storm in. I'm like ready for the Lord to go ahead and expose, especially the ones with child pornography. And in spite of the breakthroughs occurring worldwide, I can say this believer gets weary. I'm including myself. We believers, we do get weary. I also get weary. Unfortunately, a number are just throwing out the actual real and begin to go through the motions. Weariness makes you tired. Oh, well, I'm too tired. I'm too tired to get up on Shabbat early. I'm too tired to do this. And you just hear, tired, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. I have heard, tired, I'm so tired, I'm so tired. I'm not talking about any of you here, by the way. Next thing I know, somebody said, well, you're talking to me. Dadgummit, I wasn't talking, I'm just talking in general. I'm talking about any of you. I mean, not even close. If things become lifeless, so to speak. I have close people to me, not here, that act lifeless. Just like, I'm too tired. Others have stopped fighting altogether. But the prophet Daniel, oh, that's why I picked the Daniel song. Ah, okay, now you know, okay? The prophet Daniel warned. He said, there was a time when the enemy would, Daniel 7:25, he will speak words against the Most High, Elion, and will continually harass the Kedoshim, that's us, of the Most High, which is the same as Revelation 16, 16, and 7, and will try to change the appointed times, the Moedim, and the law, the Torah. The Kedoshim will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. Okay, we'll focus on the time, times, half a time, and then 1260 days, blah, blah, blah. But let me just not even consider that. They will try to change the appointed times. And the Torah. What's going on? I'm telling you what is going on. What is going on right now that's never happened before? That in the movement, in the believers, in the messianic believers, as a matter of fact, in the small group, in the ones that I've given quite a bit, this is not their first rodeo. And this is happening. It's like, well, do we need to change the Moedim because they act like they don't exist? The same group that 20 years ago would fight you forever if you said anything about you know, the Shabbat or whatever. Now, nowadays, well, you know, Shabbat, he rested and was refreshed. I know that's what Jonathan Sittell wrote when, in his song, and it's a somewhat acceptable translation of Genesis, but Vayinafash doesn't mean he took a nap. Vayinafash doesn't mean he got his lazy boy chair, how appropriate, and just started doing lazy things. You know, if he stopped caring for us, according to his very own word, we would fall apart. We are being held together by him every day, every second, whatever. Actually, he's still working. He's still working. He's still working on me. Well, he's still working. He's still working, period, to keep us alive and all those things. In order to emerge victorious in this day, we've got to discover how to dwell, how to live, Psalm 91, in the secret place of El Elyon, Most High, which is also called the shelter of El Elyon, Psalm 91, verse 1. We need to learn how to do that. When you say, well, what does that have to do with the price of eggs? The Torah portions, Aharei Mor and Kedoshim, are usually read together in non-leap years, which this is. Aharei Mot starts with reminding us of the death of Aaron's sons, two sons. It appears from the explanation that they died just before Yom Teruah. And Sam brought that out. If that's the case, the month before Yom Teruah is the month of Elul, the sixth month, which is the month of repentance and reflection. What are you reflecting about? What we should be reflecting about is the true state of our heart. What is the true state of my heart? That's why it's important to pray prayers such as, Holy Spirit, search my heart. You know, I didn't like praying those kind of prayers. It's like, Holy Spirit, there's vomit and all kinds of stuff. So I want you to search my heart. See how much of that vomit and stuff you can find. Because I get in those places. I'm talking about my heart. I'm not talking about yours. All of you are saints. Evidently, they were neither repentant nor they did reflect on that what they were doing before they did it. That Sam made that clear. We're not trying to say a whole lot about what they did or didn't do. The fact is, though, that they were not very thoughtful what they were doing because it did not bring correct results. That parashat also gives a glimpse of things that are specified in black and white for people of Adonai. You said that today, that are routinely ignored in our society, and I've spent time with that before. I had a person visiting one time and said, well, just in case, knowing he's a little liberal, and just in case, here's what the Bible has to say about the morality of our country right now. It culminates in Leviticus 12, 20, 25, and 26. I want to read that. Also, you are to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, and between the unclean bird and the clean bird. And you're not to make your souls detestable by an animal or by any bird or by anything by which the ground teems, which I have set apart as unclean for you. Here's how it goes. You are to be holy to me. The ending of, you're to be holy because I, Adonai, your Elohim, I'm holy. Doesn't just end there. I have set you apart from the peoples so that you would be mine. The reason for being different and apart is so that we can be his. Let me say that again. The reason for all this madness is so that we can be his. It's not because of some religion or whatever. It's because this is what he wants. And he already wrote it. Scripture then continues to list all the things men should not do, like Sam said, warning that anyone who did them would be cut off from his people. That's what the word says. This terminology refers to death, excommunication, or expulsion from the community. I don't want to get into a discussion. That sounds serious to me. Okay, that sounds serious. It does us good to observe the national consequences of disobedience. They're written for us in the Bible about the Jewish people. Upon reading it, it's evident, meaning it's screaming out saying, what makes you think you ain't going to get the same? What makes you think, America, that you're something special? What makes you think that if I didn't do this for my people, I won't do that for you too? That leads me to the following thought. Trouble. Dennis the Menace showed up. Trouble. Okay? Our country is in trouble. But we also see Adonai telling us that the nation of Israel was going to possess a land and was going to bring them into a prosperous land, a spacious land, where they would benefit from one another's efforts and live in houses they did not build, etc. Do you remember that? That's all the goodies. Well, here's what else he has to say about that. All this happened because the inhabitants of Canaan did not do those things that I exactly ask you not to do. In other words, I am judging them from doing that stuff, and I'm taking all their stuff and I'm giving it to you. So that, for me, says I need to strengthen myself in the Lord. Bottom line today, strengthen yourself in the Lord and in his Ruach, which Yeshua sent for that very purpose, because I was going to talk about the time between the Passover and Shavuot. And what dominates that time is the same thing that dominates the book of Acts. There's only one thing being talked about. The Holy Spirit. Period. End of. That's what it is. Look, after Matthew 24 comes the Passion and comes the Resurrection. Post-resurrection, Yeshua instructed his disciples on one thing and one thing only more than anything else. The Holy Spirit. You know what the Bible says we're supposed to become? Mighty in spirit. Mighty in what spirit? Mighty in his Holy Spirit. To be mighty in his Holy Spirit is to know him intimately and to experience the power of Messiah Yeshua's daily victory over the power of sin and the flesh and the stress of the world. We need to keep on keeping on. This is what it says in 1 Peter 3:18. Instead, keep growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. We need to keep growing. This is a time of growth, my friends. Allowing more of the Ruach Elohim to dwell and influence us is essential to becoming mighty in spirit. We have not because we ask not, because we've forgotten how to ask. Or we don't know who to ask. All those are symptoms of somebody who's far away from the man. If you're in the same space that the Lord God Almighty, the mighty one of Israel's at, and his son are there, well, Yeshua said, oh, Tony, I'm going to put you over there. Let me use a New England accent. I'm going to just put you over there. No? He said, Tony, I'm going to put you over here. Right next to me. This is the WCJB announcement from John 13. So wherever I am, you may be also. Oh, over there? Yeah, over there. Right next to your daddy? Yeah, right next to my daddy. Is he close by? Yeah, he's close by. Can you get in there? Yes. I, your permanent Kohen Gadol, intercede for you day and night. And I have made a way for you to get there. And you don't have to wait till Yom Kippur. That sound familiar? We are ineffective because we're unaware of the spiritual tools that are available to us to empower ourselves for more of Him and more of His Spirit. And you say, well, then how do I grow in His Spirit? Let me give you a maybe. Is it not by letting the Almighty be Almighty? Is it not by letting the Almighty be sovereign in everything that we do? Simple. Just let God be God. That's another way to say it, okay? Let the Almighty be the Almighty. Let the Sovereign One be the Sovereign One in everything that we do. A reminder, He's not Puerto Rican. He's a gentleman, okay? He doesn't overrule our will. I like the idea of free moral agency until my children got grown. And then they had free moral agency. And they remind me of it, directly or indirectly. Dad? This is what we're doing. When a question like, what do you think, Dad? No, that's what we're doing. And I want to get excited. Tiki bird. Lord, immediately comes, I gave you the same. Certainly, Lord, I haven't done to you what these kids of mine are doing to me. I didn't get there. It's like, you start to think such a thing and you go, devil, get out of here. I don't need to say such a thing or think such a thing. Yes, Lord. That's the answer. Yes, Lord. I have been way more vile, etc., than any of these kids are towards me. And you didn't throw me away. You have stood right there. Luke, hands open. Waiting for the wayward son. I'm a wayward son. Hallelujah. No. You know, you will only get more of him if you give more. Stay more, pray more. You will get more of him only if you ask. Ask, and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Huh? How about that? The festival of Shavuot is coming. The Holy Spirit festival is coming. It's around the corner. I think we need to start getting ready for his outpouring. Because through his Spirit, I am an overcomer, like the song. Through his Spirit, I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and because I care not for my life, even unto the death. So the answer to your thing that you were talking about, in the days of Sarah, in the days of trouble, and all those things, is to dwell securely on high, and know his name. If you dwell securely on high and you know his name, you got every tool you need to overcome the days that are evil. In Yeshua, Messiah, we pray. Amen. Thank you for giving me the courtesy not to run out. And so far, no tomatoes have been thrown.